Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for your attention. We've had a busy week at our plenary assembly in Leeds, and I'd just like to quickly go over five of the main points and then open it up for any discussion. I think the first and obviously most urgent point was we reflected for some time on the situation in the Philippines, and as you will know, CAFOD is organising a collection throughout the Catholic community in England and Wales to make our contribution to the aid effort. I will be celebrating Mass in Westminster Cathedral for the Filipino community this evening at 5:30, and you're all very welcome to that. I think what this moment does for me is obviously there is a terrible catastrophe in the Philippines, but I think I hope it makes people look with fresh eyes at the very large number of Filipino people in this country. I mean, it is a large migrant community, and I think everybody at this moment should recognise that we are enriched by the presence of this migrant community. Anyone who goes to a national health hospital, any hospital, knows that in many ways we depend on this migrant community. And we ought to, at this moment, salute their contribution and stand by them in this very grave hour of need. The second thing that we put some thought to was the situation of the people of Syria and how the displacement and the fleeing of that country has not slackened, and with winter coming on, their situation again is going to worsen. So we have asked for a repeat continuation of our effort in prayer for Syria, particularly on the 4th of December, which is the feast of St. John of Damascus. So he is a proper saint to implore, having obviously the name of Damascus in his own name, St. John Damascene. Now, all of our meeting, of course, took place in the context of the impetus and the freshness that Pope Francis has brought to the life of the Catholic Church. And we continued, and this would be the second major point I want to make, our work on supporting the family. Some of you will know that across this country, we had a listening exercise, a kind of survey of what Catholics thought about their family life, of what they were looking for, of what help they focused on. And that was called our listening project, and that was in 2004. So we are building on what the findings of that listening process were, and they are efforts both in dioceses and in parishes, particularly in the area of marriage preparation and in the area of ongoing support for families and in their spiritual role, in the faith life of families. That's what some of the things we learned from the survey, and we're building on those at this time. And obviously, we were very conscious of the invitation that has come from the Synod Secretariat in Rome to listen to the views of Catholics around the world on some of the key issues around marriage and family life. And as you know, we have put in place a fairly comprehensive invitation to people to respond to that request. And Elizabeth is going to talk about that now for a few moments.
Thank you, Father. Good morning, everybody. As you can imagine, this is a very exciting time and a very busy time across England and Wales in terms of this consultation. As Archbishop Vincent said, it went live on the website, the Catholic Bishops Conference website, on the 25th of October, with the option of completing a response via SurveyMonkey or by downloading a Word document offline and completing and returning that by email. And then the dioceses, the various dioceses around England and Wales, are also setting up their own response forms and their own systems for consultation. We've also made the response formats, the questionnaire, available in large print and on audio tape, and we're looking to see what else can be done in the time frame that we have to make it accessible to everybody. The data that comes in is being sent to, that comes into me, to the office, is being sent to dioceses on a weekly basis. The SurveyMonkey offers us the chance to download this in Excel spreadsheet format, and I'm also forwarding the email responses that I'm receiving every hour, basically, at the moment. Dioceses are then going to be compiling their reports and sending them here by December the 20th so that a synthesis reflecting the whole of the response from England and Wales can be sent back to the Synod Council by the end of January. So there's a lot going on. We're very heartened and excited by this. When we did the listening process 10 years ago, we sort of wondered, well, you know, and especially since we've worked on the findings, we wondered, well, where would we be in 10 years' time? And we always imagined that we'd never have the energy for another consultation. But thank God we have this opportunity now. And it is really exciting. And thankfully, the Marriage and Family Life Trust and coordinators, those who are still here 10 years later, have great experience of collating that volume of response. We had 15,000 families take part in 2004. And although it was over the course of a year, they still had to handle a vast amount of information in a short time. As Archbishop Vincent said, arising from the listening process, the bishops identified three priorities that we've been working on very consistently and quietly since, in terms of developing, supporting parishes in becoming more family friendly, family sensitive, welcoming. That was something that pet families asked for. Raising awareness of marital and family spirituality. And if you've seen the Synod questionnaire questions, you'll know that family spirituality is a moot point there. And particularly in exploring the role of parents and grandparents in passing on faith. So I'm really delighted with this opportunity and very excited by what we're going to learn from England and Wales. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. We'll obviously, you can come back to any of these points when we've finished our quick presentation. The next major item that we were looking at is results in statement two that you have on the back of the sheet, a statement about admissions to Catholic schools. I don't really think I need to comment on it, but can do at any in any way when we get to question time. But there it is. It's about our wishing to maintain the historic position that we have and the historic agreement with the government, and that's very important to us, particularly with regard to admissions to Catholic schools. The fourth point I'd like to touch on briefly is that we were very conscious that we're coming to the end of the year of faith, called for by Pope Benedict and continued by Pope Francis. This year of faith ends a week on Sunday on the Feast of Christ the King. And it had two overall aims. One was to deepen our appreciation and understanding of the faith. And the second was to rediscover our enthusiasm for sharing faith. Now, in a way, that dual purpose of the year of faith falls nicely, because we could say deepening our understanding of the faith, that very much corresponds to the graceful teaching of Pope Benedict about all sorts of aspects of the mystery of faith. Recovering our enthusiasm for sharing faith, I think, very much reflects the energy and the outward look that is being impressed upon the Church by Pope Francis. He has spoken on a number of occasions of the task of taking out the message of Christ. That word that we use of evangelization is not something that should be a matter of programs, but rather a paradigm of the life of the whole Church. So it's not as much as what is it exactly that you're going to do, which programs are you going to run, but rather can we effect a kind of change of mindset so that everything we do has that thrust of enthusiastic desire to share this faith as a great value. In our bishops' meeting, we talked about some of the benefits that had been measurable from the year of faith in the different dioceses. We talked about our endings, our plans for ending the year of faith, and we received a very helpful report from Claire called Crossing the Threshold, which I think really did stimulate us as to what our next steps in terms of evangelisation might be. And I'd like to invite Claire just to speak for a few minutes on that, please.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. As the Archbishop was saying, Pope Francis has been encouraging the church to go to the outskirts, to reach people where they're at. And Crossing the Threshold is the name of a project the bishops have been developing in recent years to do precisely that. But as the Archbishop was just saying, very much based at local level. So it's a project to equip local parish teams, ordinary people who go to church week in, week out, to be those people who go to the outskirts. In brief, the aim of the project, really then, or this paradigm shift to move from perhaps an emphasis on ordained leadership to lay-led leadership, is to help form little teams in local parishes to train them and support them to animate evangelisation, very simply, through genuine Christian friendship, listening and accompaniment, wherever people might be on their journey of faith. Research has suggested to us that what those people who perhaps have been baptised Catholic but don't necessarily attend church very frequently are looking for is really very simple in many respects. People are looking to receive a warm welcome, to be listened to, and just to be accepted just as they are. And so the Crossing the Threshold project is just trying to, as I say, prepare teams to do precisely that, to offer genuine Christian relationship and acceptance as local accompaniers. And initially, the focus of Crossing the Threshold is to welcome people and listen to people who have been baptised Catholic, but for different reasons, don't necessarily regularly attend church, those who are seeking to reconnect. So Crossing the Threshold is providing a mechanism to form local parish teams. The project has many different parts, but just one illustration of it is we have a pilot project in Nottingham Diocese this year, accompanying five teams to do precisely the aims of the projects I've just described. One example is we are accompanying a team in Market Harborough, an excellent group of local people, and one of the things they observed in their planning was in a fairly small town of Market Harborough, they had about 3,000 people come through the doors of the church just through weddings, baptisms, funerals. And so they, as a result of that, were basically flabbergasted it was that high a number, and are specifically looking at their welcome teams and what and materials they can provide people to make them feel at home and belong when they step inside a Catholic church. And one of the materials that we've been circulating in support of that is the Catholic and Lost Touch leaflet, which has been written in consultation with people who are not practising Catholics and those who have returned to the practice of their faith. And we can't print these quickly enough. They're going out the doors quite literally like hot cakes. And we've had excellent feedback from the content of these leaflets. So as the Archbishop was saying, Crossing the Threshold is about this paradigm shift from a traditional emphasis on ordained leadership of mission, leadership evangelisation, to also an active inclusion and leadership of lay people at local level to help create little cell groups within a parish where visitors will be guaranteed with support, a welcome, joy and friendships. It's very simple and essentially very uncomplicated, but we think is a concrete response to some of the things that Pope Francis has been inviting us to do as a church across the world.
Thank you very much. And just to, as we were, underline the importance of this theme and the importance of this invitation and challenge, at the end of next week, Thursday and Friday, there'll be another of our series of joint meetings with the bishops of the Church of England. And together we will be exploring this theme of evangelism and evangelisation. That is the focus of our joint meeting next week. The last thing we want to raise from our meeting, this fifth point, is that, not surprisingly, we had quite a full exchange between bishops of the current hardship that people are experiencing, families and individuals, as is evidenced in a lot of our parishes. One bishop said he found it quite distressing and shocking that he was actually now hearing a word used of families that he'd not heard for a long, long time, and that was the word destitute, absolutely having nothing. And he said that this was very distressing, and clearly, you know, parish communities wish to respond to that well, but it is in places a measure of the poverty that exists in this country. And so in on the page that you've been given, there's a statement that we drew up and issued today on poverty in England and Wales at this moment. And you can read that and we can come back to that as you wish. So they're the matters we wanted to present.